Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no.
That's right, the world won't get no better if we let it be. We gotta wake up everyone, and we hope to make error by coming forward and filling in our missing pages of history. We welcome you again to another episode of Missing Pages of History. Today our theme this program is entitled The Trump Watch. That's right, we're going to talk about the Trump Watch. We'd like to know this whole question of what is happening in the White House. Each day, look like new and new things appear. We'd like to have your views and your comments on this whole issue of the Trump Watch, and we'll be sharing other particular ideas and topics and segments that will interest you today. But right now, like always, we're going to get started with our program by introducing and welcoming our contributor, our analyst, and our historian, Emmanuel. Welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you. Thank
Emmanuel.
You.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you know, we just recently heard the State of the Union address by Donald Trump, and we also continue to hear new things coming out the White House concerning this whole charade of this investigation with the FBI and this whole question with its relationship with Russia interference. Well, I would like to just ask you, Emmanuel, from your perspective in general, what's really happening in the White House right now from your perspective? What's going on?
Well, number one, there's a lot of lying. It's the lyingest White House we ever had, over 2,000 lies by the president by himself. And it's not counting the ones by his staffers and his chief of staff. You got to weigh the truth. And the truth is not there. Right now, they're basically trying to muddy the water with this memo from Nunes. They try to run interference or conspiracy type theories because somebody's going to jail. And right now it looks like Donald Trump Jr. and his son-in-law. So there are two of them going to jail. Of course, Flynn is, the General Flynn, the generals he got in charge. I don't know how they made generals. I mean, the line is Jones ever, you know, see, but again, this nepotism in the military always been that way. They promote them, promote them, promote them. I'm a former military guy, and I saw how they got promoted. It's all about nepotism and also about being European American. So if you look at the White House through different color lenses, we have a con artist in there, pathological liar, adulteress, failed businessman. We have a guy who has basically assaulted some type of form of 19 women, other women. So you got a guy in there that's, you know, that's totally a crook. Has no business savvy. He don't read. I don't think he knows how to read that well. All he knows how to do is show his racism part of him being German ethnicity. This is what he's all about. This country's 40% German. So you're going to get this coming at you. Equality is not around the corner. It's never going to be. Forget it. We keep talking about equality. You can say the word all you want to. That is not going to happen. Because white supremacy is here to stay. It's German. It's not going to go anywhere. People can say anything they want to say or how they want to say it. It's all fine. This is not personal. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy that filed bankruptcy 6 times. It's not personal. This is fact. Got a defunct university, unaccredited, taking millions of dollars, should have went to jail, embezzlement, fraud. This who you're dealing with. This who you got. He's trying to run the White House like he runs his businesses. You do what I tell you, be loyal to me, or I'll fire you. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Authoritarian dictator. This is who he is. We got sanctions right now against Russia. 98-2. And he won't sign it. Why? Because he's been compromised. He has been compromised. Three of the leading spy agents, millionaires of Russia, met the CIA director at the White House, Pompeo. How do you do that? Had to be authorized by the president. You got your adversary, Russia, sending their spies right to the White, right to our CIA. What to do what? They're talking about counterterrorism? No, they won't. They're talking about the sanctions. Because one of the guys that sell arms, he's one of the guys that arrived there. From the KBG. He's the one that put some sectors against him for selling arms to other nations. So this so corrupt, so dishonest, and Congress is afraid of him. Congress is afraid of him. You're not with him, you're against him, he want to fire you. It's very simple. You don't have a job. He got lawyers for every point when it comes to certain things. He got lawyers in place to stop everything. And like I said again, he's mud in the water because his son and his son-in-law think you had to go to jail. They try to do everything they can to make sure this doesn't happen. He's running interference because of that. And they want to subpoena him. He's a big-time liar. He don't want to be subpoenaed, per se. He's going to be subpoenaed. The lawyer's trying to do everything they can to get questions prior to going to... How do you do that? You don't get questions prior to what's going to ask you prior to that. But like I said, this is all the things that happened in the White House on the Trump watch. You got to keep watching everything. Because they're getting ready to cut Social Security. They're getting ready to cut, Medicare. They're going to have to get this money, the tax break money, from somewhere. These are the only places they can get it from, because this is being contributed all the time. The workforce contributes FICA to the, you know, Social Security and to Medicare. So you got to go get it from somewhere, because the money's not there. The money's not there. So 40 million people filed for extensions already. So you're not going to get $40 million per se, 40 million people, and what a lot of those are going to be refunds. They really don't care. They're going to file it. They're going to do extensions. Now, these are all the things that's happening with this particular guy in office. He don't show his tax returns. He's not going to show his at no given time. I guess that he'll be, after 2 years, they're still being audited. Please, give me a break. But again, we have a lying guy in office, pathetic liar. Anybody that basically Twitter him should start off with the pathetic lying president. That's where he should be addressed. That's where Jay-Z should address it him also. The liar, President Trump. Because you got to call him out. You got to call him names, too. He likes calling people names. Well, let's start giving them some names. Get the orange. People call him the orange man. No, orange man ain't good enough. He's a liar. He's a liar. Call him what he is. He's a failed businessman and a pathetic, a pathological liar. Don't address him no other way. You address him the pathological liar, Donald Trump. That's what we should address him. You want to trigger him, that's what you do. Let him know exactly who he is and what he is. He can't change them stripes now. He's been lying all his life. He's going to continue to lie. He's just a failed businessman. You filed bankruptcy 6 times, and you said he's using other people's money. He don't have any money. He's not a billionaire. The last thing I checked on research, $386 million. He get that from royalties, from people renting his places. Got his name on their hotel. They're taking him down like 1, 2, 3. So he's losing money like crazy. They're trying to break off contracts with him and everything, trying to buy him out. They don't have nothing to do with this guy. Nobody wants to do with this guy. Like I said, a military man, he ducked 5 times. He ducked 5 times, didn't want to go to the military. Talk about my military. Military this. Military should never come out of his mouth. Should never come out of there. Like I said, he's on the stomping ground of Obama, our best president. He's on his stomping ground. All he's doing is doing things like what Obama did. You can't do much in a year. All the mess he's done, what he done done. The mess he has done, just screwed up everything. He has screwed this country up and abroad also. He's the laughing stock of the world. He's a laughing stock of the world. And on top of that, his wife don't even sleep with him no more. Wife don't even want to be with him no more because he's an adulteress. An adulteress. This is who we got in the White House. Obama never had no scandals. Best president we ever had. Ain't nothing there. Nothing there. Nothing there. They can't even make up stuff. It don't stick. And we got this guy up in there. This German's up in our country. President of our country. Actually, the red states voted for him. Got the electoral votes for him. He lost almost 5 million votes, popular votes on him. Nobody wants him up in there. At least the people don't want him up in there. He tell lies all the time. We've got a lying president. The Trump watch is something we're going to stay on top of. Because, again, all he's doing is mud in the water, and he's trying to run this White House like he runs his business. You say yes, and you say no, you're fired.
You know, Emmanuel, what do you make of his State of the Union address that took place this past Wednesday, I believe, and the rebuttal by Joe Kennedy III?
I listened to the rebuttal. The rebuttal was fantastic. I want to listen to a little bit of state because there were so many lies coming out. I can't listen to a liar. Everything he was talking about basically a lie. Everything was a lie. He inherited a fantastic economy. All he had to do was go up. He fell into Wall Street, going up. Everything was. Obama got us out of recession. Automobiles had totally failed, gone, bankrupt. And that Obama brought us out of that. Gave us a stimulus package. Everybody back on their feet again. Brought in health care and everything. So, State of the Union is just a lie. I had to turn away from it. I just couldn't hear him lying about and read off the teleprompters like a third grader. Like a third grader. I just couldn't handle it. The rebuttal was fantastic. Joseph Kennedy III did a fantastic job. One thing I liked what he said about the wall. They're going to tear the wall down. I enjoyed that. You know, so again, Birdie Poorly Done wasn't written by him. Again, written by probably Stephen Miller, who's a stone racist and was very racist, of course. He talked about black employment, this, you know, what the hell he's talking about. Telling a lie again. He better look at the graphs. He don't look at nothing. So he's telling the truth or not. Nobody believed what he says. They did fact check afterwards, and almost 90% of what he said was a lie. So why listen to a liar? He made another lie, had the largest audience to listen to a State of the Union. There was the smallest crowd to listen to one. And some of the congressmen, they didn't even go. They want no parts of it. Who wants parts of a liar? Other Germans, other Polish, other Irishmen. That's who want to hear those lies. I'm not going to hear those lies. So I didn't hear as much as I wanted to hear the State of the Union. Because again, it had no contention, no substance. Again, was braggadocious. Bragging on somebody what somebody else did. What Obama did opposed to what he done. And he's building off that. Like I said, you can't do much in 1 year. You got to straighten out what the other person did. Takes you 2 or 3 years to do that. I take a term to do that. So, again, I'll give you as much I can get on it. Again, because I didn't listen to it. I didn't want no parts of it. I divorced myself from it. Because, again, I've heard him lie so much. I'm just sick of his lies. So when he come on, I don't want to hear too much of it. I let it go. And once the news come on here or there, sometimes into the news, CNN, you know, MSNBC or something, it's worse than Fox News. Fox News, like I say, the word fox means sly. So you listen to news, it's very slyry. A fox. So that's what you listen to. That's his mainstay is Fox News. Fox News is where he gets his information from. That's what he channeled to the public. He knows where to channel it at, too. To the red states. He's going to channel that mess in New York. Not going to channel that stuff in California. He's not going to Illinois with that craziness. Not going to Michigan with that craziness. He know where to take that to. He's not totally stupid now. He's stupid, but he's not that stupid. But he know where to take those speeches to. He know what rural areas to take it to.
You know, Emmanuel, many people is taking the point of view that looking at how this administration is conducting itself, that it is full of corruption. And they're asking the question why Congress is supporting it and why they allow Donald Trump to continue to get away with things that no other so-called president has ever gotten away with. What's your take on that feeling from the general public in terms of this question of corruption? And this question of how Donald Trump is able to get away with doing the things that he has done so far.
Well, he used 5 things of communication. Why he do what he do? One is Twitter. The second thing, he's got people in the White House around him, amateurs, that around him don't mind saying a whole lot. Who girl 29 years old, Hicks girl. She was a model, and that she's an assistant. The people he got around him, they're all amateurish. People he put in the White House, basically amateurs. They're money people, basically. Has no, that's no tune on what America's all about. They're basically Germans. That's who we appointed, basically. You see one of one African-American in this cabinet, Dr. Carson. The rest of them all white, all, you know, Europeans, Caucasians. He's got totally unqualified people. Even Jones unqualified. He got lying people all around him to protect him, basically. And Congress is very loyal. This whole thing is about loyalty. So if you don't show him loyalty, he gets rid of you or just says disparaging words about you. Look what he did to the Attorney General Sessions. I mean, he just, oh my God, I just blasted this guy. And out of his mouth, almost every day is something about Obama administration or previous administration. And they want to hear that. Because he served 8 years. He served 8 years. They tried to dismantle these 8 years. This guy got elected. A black man is definitely only 12% of the population being African American. How did he win? What did he do to win? 12% of the population, 19 million basically black votes, 65 million votes he got total. So easy math, that said 20 million. So 45 million others voted for him. They are mad. They still mad. How could that happen in a white country? How could that happen? But it happened. They still mad. They still mad because you're not slaves anymore. They still mad. They're mad because you get a few businesses, that you play in sports, that you're rising almost in everything you couldn't rise in. It's amazing how we come to the forefront in a lot of different areas of business, of sports, education. It's just amazing. This is not supposed to happen because we're inferior product. We're inferior human beings. We're three-quarters of a human being, and they still sticking to it. The Dred Scott decision, you're not a U.S. citizen and never be. Took an amendment to make us a citizen. So this is planning to their playbook. Their playbook says white America, not white and black America, not white and brown America or red America. You stole the country from the Native Americans, put them on reservations, showing their power. And showing you're powerless. And that's what Congress is doing. Congress made sure that this power stay in place. And like I said before, you got a 99% white Senate and white, beside the House. House got about, I think, 15% African Americans and 5 more percent minorities, and so 20% of the House is minorities, or 80% of Caucasians. And the Senate has, I think, that's black, 2 blacks, that's maybe 3 at the most. I'm not sure. But again, you're talking about less than 1%. So, and Congress going to keep it Republican as well, as, because again, they're in power now. They're going to do everything to unleash their power. And they don't agree with Donald Trump regardless, because again, they're trying to keep their party in relevance, regardless, keep their party relevant. And they, regardless what happens, it's going to be a fight for the next 4 years. Everything going to be a fight. Nothing going to go smooth. I'm waiting on DACA. I think the government going to shut down again another week, like December 8th. They're going to shut it down again for 2 days and open it back up again, same phrases. They cannot get a budget. Don't do anything, they don't get their way. And the Democrats are in their way. I'm glad they're in their way. But like I say, They had a guy from the day, I forgot what state he was from, to give you a small example. It was Trump supporters. I think the guy was one of the night hosts on the night shows. He asked the guy, "Here's a husband is going ready to go to Afghanistan. He might come back. His wife might be gone, exported, going to Mexico. The DACA. Why she can't stay here? He's been here all his life. The child's born here. The wife was born here. But they want to send them back to Mexico. Have them going to fight for our country." And this guy, with a white beard and red hair, this German said this: "The baby can stay here, but send the wife back to Mexico. Let him go to the military." Well, dummy, who's going to take care of the baby? This is how dumb they are, the people that voted for him, how dumb they are. They're not going to play on his golf course. They're not going to be in his hotels. This is how dumb these people are. This is how dumb these white people are. These European Americans are. This is how dumb they are. They're just plain stupid. Plain stupid. Where is the child going? Child about 9 months old. Well, send the mother back now. The baby can stay. And this is the way they talk. This is the way Republicans talk. They talk stupid all the time. Because they're protecting a guy called Donald Trump. A German. A racist. This is who he is. He can't change that. He's never going to change that. And Congress going to stay with him regardless. As a Republican Congress, they're going to stay very long with him because they're the same as he are. These guys are same, almost the same nationality, same ethnicity, same pigmentation, same thought chain. They're superior. White supremacists. That's who they are. They don't like to see you driving a nice car, and they got plenty of. We buy 4% of Mercedes-Benz. We buy 4%. And they still crying. Hell, you buying 96% of them, but you still crying. You still complaining. They don't build a Mercedes-Benz ship for black people to buy Mercedes-Benzes or buy Cadillacs. It ain't for you. It's for them. Once in a while, we can get one. But we talk about it, and we talk about it. That's our problem, too. Our jealousy gets in our way. Instead of fighting what's in front of you, instead of being a whole person and not afraid to speak, but speak the truth. 6 bankruptcies, a defunct university, a con artist, pedophile. This is what you got to do. Crooked. Don't pay no taxes. This is who this guy is. And a whole bunch of them are like this. But we are afraid to talk. We want to talk about our people all the time, what we do. Nobody, no black person do what this guy done. Or what this guy done did. That he does, a whole bunch of them like him. Wall Street, number of New Las Vegas. That's all it is. That's all Wall Street is, to take your money. I'm going to do a thing on that, how they take your money. They take your money, take your tax dollars. The deficit is $20 million. Did you know it took 200 years to get to $1 trillion? Deficit? It took 200 years to get to $1 trillion. Now it's $20 trillion in a matter of 12 years. $6 trillion since he's been in office. The cost of the war, basically. Borrowing money. But what an interesting stat that you need to know. It took 200 years to get a deficit of $1 trillion. And then we had $20 trillion. That should tell you something. Where'd the money go? Wall Street got the money. Most of the guys are billionaires. They took the tax money. Take your tax dollars. Take your tax dollars.
I think it supports the question of this whole corruption thing that people is talking about. But Emmanuel, right now, we're going to ask you to let's pause for this call. We're going to take a station break. And when we come back, we'll continue the discussion. We have some interesting questions we'd like to ask the public, where we can discuss the issue of do they agree with the outcome of the case of Dr. Nasser and Michigan State University as it relates to the women in gymnastics. There's an issue that's going out right now that white woman has a harder living in America than black people. Do you agree with that? And, of course, on that breaking news segment, we lost our beloved brother Dennis Edwards. We'll be talking about those issues and more on what's going on with MPH when we come back from our station break. So call us, please hold on. We'll be right back, and we will ask you to participate by calling in at 818-337-0016. This is Missing Page of History. We'll be right back. Fight hard for them not to be able to do that. Right now, we will continue our discussion with Emmanuel, and we open up our phone lines to hear your views and your comments on the Trump Watch, as well as some of the other issues that we're going to talk about right now. We can go into this segment, what we call What Do You Think? Emmanuel, we'll start out with you, and we'll open up our phone line afterwards around the issue of, do you agree with the outcome of the case with Dr. Nasser and the Michigan State University as it relates to the Olympus women trials, women participating to make the Olympus team, and how they have been dealt with in terms of these allegations of sexual harassment. What do you think of the outcome, how they dealt with it? What's your assessment of this whole scenario?
Excuse me. Sexual assault. I think altogether 256 women have come forward affidavits. Dr. Nath's been doing this for a couple of decades. And Michigan State has been protecting him like they protect other officials sometimes. They protect people at the university, they protect them at highest level of offices. And in capitalism, protectionism is one of the things that happen with capitalism. One of the tentacles of capitalism is protectionism. They protect who they want to protect. And they protected him at institutions like Michigan State University. I think the outcome was one I would probably agree with totally. I have girls, four girls. They're grown-ups now. I protected my children as much as I could. Gymnastics, swimming, tennis, things this nature where women participate in. And you get these doctors. They unchained. They take advantage of children. And that was lowest than was 6 years of age. 175 years, I think he was given 60 years of federal time. Still got to be tried some more. And the university in big trouble. The results came, I thought, were fair. The president stepped down from the university. Athletic director, I think he stepped down. So people stepped down in different positions of importance in the university. Now you got to be, watch who you appoint. Don't appoint what you just got up, same type of person. Don't do a Donald Trump thing, a loyal thing. That's what they're doing. The guy they appointed to take away the university, he's a, what he is. He's a Republican, first of all. He's a lawyer, second of all. And, again, he's one of those guys that, again, that's, you know, that fight women all the time, women's rights. He's, don't, you know, one of those type of guys that are against women's rights. So you got the same person coming up in there, basically, that's going to probably do something with some of this craziness he's doing. But again, they got assault football players, basketball. So a lot of stuff going to come out of Michigan State University. These big universities have these type of calamities all the time. They get some of these ball players in there because of sex. I have some friends of mine who played at different universities. They had women to get those guys to these universities. Had women to do this. Recruit, that's what they did. So don't be, you know, what Michigan State University is doing is not uncommon. It's what it is. But the results, I agree with the results. You should never see the daylight again. They're going to have to watch him closely in prison while he's there. They got to keep probably 24-hour guard, probably two guards on him at all given time until he dies, until he perishes. But the results, I thought was, I agree with the results. I agree with certain people stepping down. Some more should probably step down. I'm waiting on the basketball coach, Izzo, to say what he's going to say because they got assault charges against some of the basketball players and also some of the football players and swimming team. I think that's coming up too. But these guys are like, how do you do this for 20 years? And nobody say anything. This is amazing. But again, protectionism, it's who you are. It's part of the white culture. Nobody talk about the white culture, but this is part of it. Nothing can get by them, basically. They can't make money off of it. They can't exploit it and make them clap their hands. All they do is clap their hands when something goes wrong. All you see is Donald Trump and his guys clapping their hands. Even though as wrong as they can be, they clap their hands. This is the white culture that clap their hands, regardless of how bad it is. They're trying to say it's right when it's wrong. They make a wrong, they try to make it right. Slavery was wrong, but they're still trying to make it a right. And they procured slavery all the way up until right and still doing it now. Again, through segregation, through Jim Crow, new Jim Crow, it's the same thing. They make it a little more sophisticated. It's the same thing. It's the same pie crust that's breaking off the ends, off the crumbs. That's all they're doing, giving you a crumb, saying everything is all right. But I agree with the verdict. I agree with the sentencing. And, again, he didn't kill nobody. But, again, you killed a person's inside of a person being a you kill morality in a person, especially a woman. This going to be the rest of her life, going to be in her head the rest of her life. She go to sleep every night. This going to be the last thing she say after she say her prayer. This going to enter her mind while she try to sleep. This stays with you. It doesn't go anywhere until you die. It doesn't go anywhere. The results, I thought, the results, I agree with totally. The sentencing, everything, I agree with it all.
And this last question, then we'll open up our phone lines. We have callers to be waiting. Emmanuel, to the segment, what do you think? There's a issue that has been raised this week by a actress, a European actress, European woman, who stated that it's harder being a white woman living in the United States than being black. What do you think about that question? How would you respond to that?
Flat out lie. Flat out lie. Flat out lie. See, people understand one thing. We're the only group of people that came here and changed. All immigrants didn't come and change, just us. We aren't immigrants. We came as slaves. Different between the two. They came with their clothes, their shoes, socks, everything. Their children came with everything. We came with zero. They didn't come with a language. Our culture is diluted. What the word diluted means? Borrowed. Everything we got, everything we do is borrowed. Our language is borrowed, our clothes, our culture, everything is borrowed. We came here like sardines. Threw us overboard, we got sick to feed the fish. She has told a flat-out lie because she's an immigrant and we came as slaves. And there's no parallel to what she was saying. That's just a flat-out lie.
Okay. Audience, you're listening to Missing Pages of History. We start out early during the program talking about Trump Watch, and we pose these two questions to you. And these two questions are, do you agree with the outcome of the case with Dr. Nasser? And Michigan State University has leads to how they dealt with these women in the field of gymnastics. And there was a second question by a recent white woman. She's an actress. She made a statement that it's harder being a white woman in the United States, living in the United States, than being black. We will open up your phone line, and I'd like to have your views and comments on what has been discussed today. Our number is 818-337-0016. You have any comments or views, please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last 4 numbers in your phone. Your last 4 numbers. We have a caller. Okay, caller, we welcome you to Missing Pages. Missing Pages, your caller, your last 4 numbers are 6029. Your question or comment, caller, 6029.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call. The question in terms of being more difficult, real for white women as opposed to African people in America is absurd. It's not even worth a response. I mean, one of the things historically look at the maltreatment of African people that continues up to today, that clearly the level of injustice, the level of marginalization, the level of torture inflicted upon African people is by far unprecedented, and no white person has ever experienced the kind of oppression or repression that African people have suffered. So it's really absurd. I'm not even going to respond to it other than say that it's absurd. But the question in terms of Donald Trump, in terms of characterizing him, one of the things when we talk about the corruption society, I think one thing we have to understand is that corruption is endemic to capitalist society. And so whereas we vilify Donald Trump, the bottom line is that it doesn't matter who's in power, that in fact that you have to abide by the rules of the game, and the rules of the game is about corruption. Even when Barack Obama was in positions of power, that's limited in terms of what he could do. He tried to stimulate the economy by actually infusing large sums of capital into the system. Well, the powers that be said the ones going to have that, and so therefore he's only limited in terms of, you know, his success to the extent that it benefited corporations, you know, the financial sector, and big business. So even he, with all well intended, was limited in terms of what he can do. So at some point we have to begin to realize that the problem that we're confronted with is a system in place which is damaged the supposed aspiration or the interest of African people, not only here in America, but throughout the hemisphere or throughout the world. So I think that when we talk about corruption, I think we have to understand it's just endemic. It flows from the economic system to the political system to the social system. So it's just endemic. So to think otherwise is to be disingenuous and lacking in awareness in terms of, you know, how the system is organized. And I want to thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for your comments, Carla. You are listening to Missing Pages of History, and our phone line is open. Feel free to call in at 818-337-0016 and help us fill in these missing pages. Emmanuel, you know, one of the things earlier we were talking about this whole question of Michigan State and Dr. Nasser, and you mentioned also possibly the swim team. It looked like they're going down that road now, too, the girls who was in the swim team. And this is not only just related to at Michigan State, but this is related to swim teams all throughout the country. Even as early as the high school, they've been approaching high school coaches who have violated these young girls. So how far do you think this thing will run when it all play out?
Well, I think what's going to happen here is that this is getting so much front page, and getting front page at university newspapers also. And again, it's on the internet, it's on the social media. It's going to take a little while for it to play out, just like other sexual assaults. It included Donald Trump, it included Weinberg, and all the other guys who are stepping down in positions of power. Again, this is the culture. This is the culture. Always been like that since slavery. It took advantage of slave women at 13, 14, 15 years of age. So it's nothing new. It's part of their culture. We have to understand some things. See, the system is not about you. There are over 250 billionaire women, white women, over 250 out of 1,800 billionaires in America, 1,800, 250 are women. One black woman don't have $1 billion of cash, Oprah Winfrey. Now, the 250 women are billionaires, 249 are white. See, I give you numbers. I don't give you rhetoric. I give you something to record and put in your head. See, this is absurd. Use the other caller's word, absurd. But again, it's systematic. Why would someone even say something like that? Flat-out lie. I don't make it absurd. It's a flat-out lie. See, you have to call white America lies when they lie. We're afraid to do that. We go all around the bush. President Obama, the best president we ever had, basically, in my time. Upon the obstruction he was up against, total obstruction, did as much as he could do. This is capitalism. Corporations run this. You got a job because of them. Your caller probably works for a corporate job. I did. I had no other choice. Because black folk didn't own no businesses. But you could get hired. We hire exactly 3.1 people out of black businesses. 3.1. That means three people. That our funeral homes, little restaurants we got, ain't got that many. Our cleaning businesses, that's all we got. Barbershops, what do we have to generate this kind of money to hire somebody? You going to get a barbershop to get a job? Cleaning company to get a job? No, you're not. You going to the corporate world to get a job? Let's be real. Let's be real. I'm being real with people, the listeners. That's where you're going to get a job at. The Honeywells of the world, the General Motors, the Fords. This is where you're going, whether you like it or not. You can talk all you want to talk about it. The place you're going to make your living. You might go as a janitor. Well, at least all you're going to do is, I work at Ford Motor Company. Are you going to say you're a janitor too? No, we're not going to say the second part. See, I just try to inform our listeners. We got to tell the truth. We have to stop doing the rhetoric. All we do is be calling me to do a lot of rhetoric stuff. Talking about systematic, this and that. Say it like it is. When a woman talks that crazy stuff, with the, that's, you know, Twitter her back. There's 250 women are billionaires, and one is black. So how the hell you say you got it worse? See, that's a number she can't deal with. You can deal with rhetoric. You can't deal with what I just told you. You can't deal with that. $1,800 billionaires and 7 are African Americans, including one woman. Assets worth no more than $2 billion average. But the white billionaires are worth more than $4 billion. Different ballgame. Difference why they own everything. So like I said before, hope I answered your question. I try to answer in detail, also specific, and answer with numbers. Things that people have to understand, sort of stick with them when I talk numbers.
Okay, let's make a quick transition to breaking news this week. And breaking news for this week has been the loss of Dennis Edwards. He made a transition this week, who was one of the lead singers of The Temptations. What words do you have to, what came to your mind when you heard this loss of Dennis Edwards, Emmanuel?
Well, I met Dennis Edwards. I used to promote Ace Booking Agency in Washington, D.C. for Motown, and I booked the Temptations at many venues in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, of course, in Maryland. And I met Dennis. He was the front person for the Temptations. Extraordinary guy, very nice guy. Wasn't a party guy that much. When he come to town, that'd do a whole lot for him. Hotel guy, basically. Stayed in a hotel room. Hotel lobby, that's where he stayed. That's where him and I, we talked. Like, again, a nice gentleman. I think he died at 74. He was near, I'm 72, he's near my age, so we had a lot in common to talk about. And, again, dealing with Motown, worked for Ace Booking Agency. I got to meet a lot of Motown people. Like I said, booking the shows in those one district and three and two states. In Pennsylvania and Maryland, of course, in the District of Columbia. So I enjoyed him for the moment. I did talk to him about maybe four or five times I met him. I met him one time in L.A., and I met him once here in where I'm at now, I took my wife on a birthday to the Four Tops and Temptation show, and we got, you know, we got front row seats and everything, went back in the back, and he came up with them about 8 years ago, an older guy. He was about 67, 60, 66, about 4 years ago when I did that. And we talked, chatted for a few moments. That was it. Everybody was trying to tell autographs and meet the Four Tops. So, yeah, very nice guy. Actually, the front man for the Temptations. Just a real very nice guy. There's nothing out there on him, basically. That's mischievous. That's arbitrary or nothing out there. That's, you know, people say, you know, I say he's just a very good guy. To my recalling, a very nice guy.
And also, can you give us a prediction? What you think about the upcoming Super Bowl, the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles? How do you see this playing out?
Well, my team, of course, we've been in England for a long time. But my nieces and nephews in Pennsylvania, they're from Philadelphia, so they persuaded me to go for the underdog for the first time. I like both teams. On the situation we got at the quarterback, you know, Tom Brady against Nick Foles. Everything else plays out about even. That's at the quarterback position, everything. Like I said, again, that's the only thing I see that's I'm impartial to as far as Brady being a little bit better. They playing in the dome. It's a neutral field at Minnesota. I believe that Philadelphia is going to find, the defense going to find a way to win the game. I think their defense is a little bit better, a little bit better than New England's. They got to get to Tom Brady. They have to get to him. They hope they can get to him with those four linemen. If they don't, they're going to have to send seven. To send the linebackers and everybody. They got to stop Brady. And like he's 40 years of age. Is immobile. Foles is not too much mobile himself. He's a little more mobile and younger than Brady. But you got to beat Brady, and you got to beat Belichick. Because Belichick will make adjustments the second half. The second half of the game should be outstanding. But like I said again, the favorite, of course, is New England. But I'm basically betting on Philadelphia to upset them.
Can you give me a score?
I think it'll be like 28-21.
28-21. Philadelphia with the upset. That sounds good.
They're playing inside the dome. They're playing in the dome, not in too much inclement weather. It's a different game inside the dome opposed to natural grass or natural elements. So it should be a high-scoring game because they're playing inside of, you know, very climatic-controlled weather.
Okay. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's up with MPH and future programs. And then we also will get the final summation from Emmanuel on today's theme. So we're going to take a station break, and we'll be right back.
But did you know what life is worth? to ease him, kiss him, game, dine, and go to heaven in a Jesus name, Lord. We know and we understand, Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
we gonna stand up for, alright?
Yeah, yeah,
so you better get up.
Back to Emancipation History, and we also would like to encourage you to get up and stand up. Stand up for your rights. And right now, we will make our transition to our closing segment. Right now, we will bring in one of our supporters and members and contributors as well. We will bring in Susie, and she can give us some updates and information on how you can find out more about MPs. Susie? Welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Good evening. I'd like to inform the listening audience and audience out there that they can go to our Blog Talk Radio and hear previous programs, and that's at www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc. And they can catch all our previous programs from the past weeks, in which we're on a biweekly basis. Our next program, MPH program, will be February the 17th, and the one following that will be March the 3rd. Also, I'd like to remind our listeners that we have our quarterly raffle fundraiser drawing, which will be held on Saturday, March the 3rd, 2018, at 1 o'clock p.m., and they can also don't have to be present. You can get with any one of the MPH members to purchase your tickets. And we'll be live on that 3rd. We'll actually announce the winners at that time. Also, we have an MPH TV show that comes on. It's our fall series in 2018, which is weekly. And that's on Comcast Channel 95 or Fios Channel 36. And that's Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. And live call-ins are welcome. And last and finally, you could always join and support us by going to our MPH website, which is www.mph.org. And we thank you for your support and for listening to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you, Susan. Along with the report, we would like to just talk a little bit about our next program, which will be on the 17th of February. Our next program will be on white supremacists invading law enforcement and the police department. Emmanuel, that sounds like a very interesting topic, because many people have been asking that question.
I'm doing research on it now. It should come out pretty decent. I'm going to learn again. We're going to learn some specifics. We're going to learn specifics, not rhetoric. We're going to get numbers together. We're going to exactly tell you what's going on in the police department along with white supremacy. Been going on quite some time.
So to listen, audience, please make sure you tune in on the 17th of this month at 1 p.m. right here in Missing Page History. We may give you a good chance to figure out why so many African males are being killed by the law enforcement. Maybe this is what is going on. We have white supremacists invading law enforcement and the police department. So tune in on the 17th at 1 p.m. Emmanuel, give me your summation for today's theme and your final thoughts for this program.
Well, we got to learn one thing, basically. Is keep our eyes, ears open and be subjective to lies. You got to dissect the lies, then go and discover exactly what's going on. And we don't do that. We just take rhetoric and we just take things and just run with it. We talk about things systematically. We know it's all about systematic. That's an ambiguous term. What's systematic? What is it? What things you know are systematic? We talk about a capitalist system. And we live in it. We're not going anywhere. There's no better place to live than America, the United States of America. There's no better place to live. Why do you think people come here? I know it's not all right, not all true with what it is. A Statue of Liberty sitting in New York Harbor out there. We're trying to abide by it and do things by it, but it's very difficult. Because we are nations of different pigmentations, different ethnicities. And we have to understand that. There's going to be power plays and powerful plays. And like I say, your leader, you look. There's never been a president like Obama. Never been one like him. John Kennedy, never been one like him. These two guys are outstanding. I can talk about the Hoover, the Woodrow Wilsons, the Eisenhower, the Reagans. They don't compare with these guys. These guys try to make it better for everybody. And they fought him, and they fought him. They killed one, Kennedy. Didn't quite get to Obama. But again, great president. Greatness, that's all I can say. He was a person of integrity, unscandalous. His family, his wife, super smart. Everything was right. We have a right to brag on him. I have a right to brag on him. Very audacious. This guy in the White House, and I can't carry his jockey strap. He's got more brains in his toenails this guy got in his brain. The guy is incompetent. Incompetent. But you can't beat a liar. Now, my mother used to tell me, Sal, I'll take a robber over a liar. But he's both of them. He's both of them. So to sum everything up, we got somebody we got to deal with. And we're going to deal with him. And like I say, he's being protected by the legislative branch of the government. He's protected a little bit by the Supreme Court. But he stole the Supreme Court justice. Should have been Obama's pick. Over 200 some days that they didn't even pick a justice. But this young man took a lot as president. And he's staying out of the scene. Don't have to be in. They hate that. They talk about him every day. Talk about Hillary. They don't respond. They respond very little because they know what they're dealing with. And ignorant, 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 all capital letters, man. That's who they're dealing with. Dealing with a German. They know exactly what they're dealing with. Dealing with a Hitler. Know exactly what they're dealing with. Dealing with a sociopath. This guy done everything to the, what you want to call her, $130,000. He married, running around in his underwear, chasing this girl inside the hotel room. This is who we're dealing with. And this is accepted because that is their culture. When you accept something like this, this is your culture. You talk about your culture? Well, I'm not barring that. Our culture, I know, is diluted. I'm not born with it. He's the leader of the nation, the most powerful man in the world. And look at this income poop. Called in darker nations, shitholes. He's a Trump hole. He's an a-hole. That's who he is. And I hope and pray that they lock him up and get him impeached. We need to get him out of there. He's just a bad apple, a rotten apple.
Emmanuel, we'd like to thank you, thank all of our participants, and in this audience for allowing us to come in your homes this evening, where we can share with you today's theme, the Trump Watch, and the various other issues that we deal with as relates to Dr. Nasser and the mission in State University saga, along with our tribute to Dennis Edwards. We'd like to remind you that, don't forget, February 17th, we have an upcoming show on white supremacists and raiding law enforcement and the police department. Until then, again, we'd like to thank you for all the support you have given us. And remember, like always, come and join us and help us fill in our missing pages of history.